Hey there, this is Chris, and this, if you didn't know already, is the Rheology Podcast. This specific series in the podcast focuses on what people are thinking and saying when it comes to God, Jesus, and Christianity. There can be a lot of confusion surrounding those topics. We're here to help sort through that confusion in what we call So They Say. Today, along with Tyler and Scott, we'll sort through the idea that all Christians are hypocrites. So welcome back. This is episode 9. Hello, friends. How are you doing today?
Christopher, how's it going, man?
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, great.
Cool.
I think maybe this is Tyler's thing, but I'm going to steal it.
Mm.
We're currently in the Rheology Studios.
In sunny Burbank, California.
Yeah. And I wish everyone could see the setting we're actually in.
Well, they will. Just took a picture.
That's true. But it's not distracting, but I am very distracted. Maybe I'm captivated by all of Scott's toys.
There's so many eyes looking at me.
Yeah, so many faces.
There's literally like 100
Funko Pop figures.
Funko Pop eyeballs looking at me, which is cool. Yeah. Very cultured, Scott, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, absolutely, of course.
Are there new ones since the last time I've been here? I feel like there's been new faces.
Yeah, Ren and Stimpy. I don't think I've seen those before.
No, they were here.
How about
I have a new desk, number one. You guys noticed that?
Maybe that's what it is.
A little new L shape and and I got like a little LED light that goes underneath here.
Fancy boy.
It's a gaming fancy office boy. Gaming desk. I will, point your attention down to the floor, the Three Stooges dolls that I have. These dolls, a funny little joke is they're made by Spumco. You guys know Ren and Stimpy.
Mm.
Ren and Stimpy was like produced by Spumco, which is a goofy little production company. And
Spumco,
yeah.
That's a name.
Yeah. And the guy who created Ren and Stimpy, his name is John Kricfalusi.
Mm.
And John Kricfalusi then had his studio like do caricatures of the Three Stooges, and they made them into dolls. And I collect them, obviously.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, my kids have been scared to death.
I was about to say, those should be buried.
Yeah.
Because they're...
No, don't bury them. They'll wake up and get out. Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is I would go put them in my kids' beds before they go to bed at night.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That kind of like boomeranged on me, because then they would be up all night long and want to sleep with us. So...
Your own doing.
Little fun thing there. Don't put scary things in your kids' beds right before they go to bed. Mm. Dumb idea. Really dumb idea.
Speaking of dumb ideas, let's talk about Christians.
There's a lot to say there.
All right, so I have a question, right? Yeah. We're going to talk about like hypocrites, Christians being hypocrites.
Yeah.
But I had this thought. Because I think there was a time where like culture expected the best out of Christians, and Christians were like telling culture that we are the best of like morality and like ethics and stuff like that. Right. This is probably like 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm curious, would you say that like are people shocked anymore when like there are pastor scandals or church scandals? Like would you say that this is now a bug or feature within the church? And are people thinking this is a bug or feature? Because I think that before it'd be like, oh, they're being hypocritical. But now I feel like a lot of people, mostly younger people,
come to expect it.
Yeah, just like, no, it's not. Yeah, yes, this is what Christians do. So it's less almost hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, still, right, there's still, everyone knows, not everyone, but a lot of people know that Christianity is all about, supposed to be about loving, right? But then there's always that saying of like, there's no hate like Christian love, right? So that's like a big thing around the internet and memes. So I'm just curious, would you guys, in your experience, do you think a lot of people still expect Christians to, I don't know what I'm saying. Like, do they see it as hypocritical, or is this this expectation? It's a feature of Christianity.
Yeah, I think it's beyond hypocritical. I think people's feelings would be like, well, yeah, of course it happens. I think there's like apathy now. There's no like, how could they do that? You know?
Yeah, this would be the best of us.
Yeah. There are representatives. No, it's like, yeah, that's, and like move on, that's not a surprise.
Yeah, I think there'd probably be a gambit of, you know, responses. I definitely don't think people are surprised anymore. I think that's the shock value's gone.
Right.
And it's almost like in some people's minds, it's like a kind of just waiting for it to happen.
Right.
But I also believe that there are definite people who just look at Christianity and they don't believe in Christianity because they throw everybody under the bus of like, they're all hypocrites.
Right.
Every Christian out is a hypocrite.
Yeah.
They say one thing and eventually in dealing with them, they do something else. And so, like my daughters kind of teeter on that a little bit, not to the extreme, but like they, when they went through high school, there were Christian kids who right. And then come to find out they were the biggest partiers in school.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
my
yeah,
kids would be like, the so-called Christians. So I don't really know if they met too many like loving Christians.
right.
And if they did, the loving Christians are kind of, it's funny that's like the hypocritical Christians are like the ones that are like in your face.
Yes.
And the loving Christians are the ones that are like hidden in the church somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like there isn't really a blend anywhere.
Well, okay. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have, I wonder if you guys run into this problem. Like when I get my hair cut, people ask me what I do.
Where do you get your hair cut, Chris?
No, I hate this.
Oh, I actually have
Supercuts? Do you go Supercuts?
Not anymore.
What's wrong with Supercuts?
I get my hair cut at three different spots. I have like random times of the day where I have like an opening and then I check the availability in those places. But
wow.
It's more, they're more expensive.
Okay. Just Why don't you come here? I can cut that hair for free, buddy.
I'm sure you can cut this hair for free. But I'd rather pay someone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So do you guys, how freely do you say, oh, I'm a Christian to people that you don't know?
Not.
Right?
Isn't it freely.
They
have to like give me something that makes me feel like, oh, I can say this out loud.
Well, an easy out is if they ask what you do, then obviously
I don't even say.
So I have to preface.
I say I work at UNC Charlotte.
Oh, you
Charlotte.
Don't even say a no. Christian ministry?
I work with student orgs at UNC Charlotte. And if they ask more questions, they're like, oh, actually,
then you kind of
do
deeper.
This. But if they don't ask me more questions, then.
But do you, I don't have to get into it. Yeah. When I try to say, hey, I work at for like a Christian ministry at UNC Charlotte, but let me explain more
but
what I do.
But it's not what you think.
Yes. I literally say it's not what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's less about like trying to, you know, stay away from toxic Christianity. I'm trying to help students not be toxic Christians anymore, to hypocritical Christians. Yeah. Right. I'm trying to teach Christians not to be hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
In a way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the job card anymore.
Right.
So, the only time, honestly, that it comes up for me, honestly, is when people, I may mention like this, the podcast.
Yeah.
And they want to know, oh, cool, what's it about? And I'm like, oh, gosh.
You had to ask. But I did let you in on the conversation.
I tried to give you a warning here.
Because now if they're Christians, they might be more offended by the podcast.
They're typically not Christians.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
right.
They're typically not. And so it's like, well, it's about theology. And they're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, then I have to try to explain it even more. But I typically don't have scenarios where I feel like that's a response, unless it's like real blatant. Like the dude that like bumped into us like 2 weeks ago.
That's right, at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And when they kind of preface it, then of course.
Right.
But typically no. Like at the hair salon. Well, first of all, I've been going to the same person for years, but
where is that at?
You
put a plug in?
Right down here. It's called Sabina Spa.
Ooh, you go to a spa?
Spa.
Yeah.
I can tell.
And now you know why Burbank, I turned my nose up at Supercuts. I mean, come on.
Wow.
Scott. Amy Jordan, she's down there.
Amy, shout out Amy.
In Indian land. I'm not getting paid for this. But she already knows, and she's a Christian, and we talk about certain things like that. But I don't really have like, I do have like non-Christian people that come to my life regularly, but we typically never even go down that right. road. So,
sure.
But it's interesting.
Hypocrites.
Hypocritical. I definitely do, and I'll say this again, I definitely do believe that there are a lot of people in this world that they wouldn't say Jesus is a hypocrite.
Yes.
But they would say Christians. Yeah. And now when I say Christians, I'm imagining that in their mind, it's 21st century religion.
Right.
Is hypocritical. And maybe not necessarily, you know, well, I don't know if they even get to like what disciple is and all that kind of stuff. No. It's just people who go to church, basically. And we'll get to that. We talked about hypocrisy and hypocrites a couple of episodes ago. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Do you remember me talking about where the word hypocrite comes from? Tyler actually made a mental or a verbal note about this. Do you remember?
No, I don't.
You don't remember what that
means? Shaking your head. Yes, no, what you're talking about. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm like, he's right with me. No. You don't remember what hypocrite, where the word hypocrite comes from?
No.
Okay. Is this podcast? I think you're.
Wait, it was your other one with the other Tyler.
Right. Right. Yeah. Your doppelganger. He was here. No. It was you.
Remind me.
Well, hypocrite, or the word is hupakertēs. It's a Greek word, and it
doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, it literally means an actor, a stage actor. Okay. Now you remember that now.
No,
no, you don't.
I'm just that's interesting.
That's exactly that's what you said the last time. yeah. So basically, whenever Jesus uses the word hypocrites, and we've got a couple different scenarios here where, like in Matthew 6, he says, don't be like the hypocrites. Matthew 23, he says, he has a whole chapter of woe, and it's woe to the hypocrites, woe to the hypocrites. This is where he talks about you brood of vipers, you snakes, kind of a deal. And he's primarily aiming at the religious leaders.
This is the Sermon on the Mount.
No.
Well, this is
Matthew 6 is the Sermon on the Mount. Yes.
Look at the seven woes, though, right? Is that where you're talking about the woes?
Yeah, the Matthew 28 or 23 is all the woes.
Okay.
So, but yes, Matthew 6 is the Sermon on the Mount, and he's basically telling everybody, like, you know, the idea is like which translates into today, your idea of religion or your idea of people who are supposed to follow God has been modeled as that. Right, these religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the rabbis, and even you know, the priests, the high priests, and the other priests. That's what you've been modeled. That's what's been modeled to you as like what it means to follow God. And then he not only says don't be like them, but then he calls them hypocrites. He calls them play actors.
Okay. Right. Because before this, first of all, Matthew 23, like Jesus goes hard in the paint. It's a great chapter of Jesus calling people out.
Yes.
People need to read that more often. But I don't think I ever, maybe because we're just talking about it so in depth right now, but like, right, when he was using the word hypocrites, but it's not the word we use today. It's literally like they're actors. And he pointed at them saying like,
yeah, hey,
they're acting out this fake scenario.
Right.
So there was no like hypocrites was like a job description and not like a description of someone doing an action, right? Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah,
or do you
it's
know?
Like it's basically the premise of it is an actor getting into character. That's the actual.
So when
premise.
He was using the word hypocrites, he was just calling them actors, like character actors.
Yeah, they're playing a character.
It's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's
they're cool. getting into
and then,
character.
And now we use that as like to point out people who are not living
right
what they really believe.
Yeah, they're one person acting like they're somebody else.
Yes,
which is true. But
yeah, okay.
He would literally so like this, you know, there were actors or there were you know stage. Acting and that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, he's not kind of like throwing out an idiom He's not really throwing out like a phrase of the day or anything like that. He's actually calling them.
You influencers.
Right.
You social media influencers. Right.
You know, the funny thing is I tell the girls all the time, I'm like going, how, you know, we look up to celebrities, and primarily the celebrities we look up to are actors. How can we trust an actor?
Are you asking us? What are you asking us?
How can you trust? How can you trust them? They pretend to be somebody else the time.
You can't.
Because in my head, when you asked me that, I was like, I really want to trust actors.
Yeah.
Like, how should I trust the actors that I look up to?
How can you trust them more? Just a funny little thing to think about. Yeah. Because it's kind of true. They're very, like, very good at acting as somebody else.
That's why child actors, right? They don't end up very well.
Oh, jeez.
Right. Because, like, I think they're doing whatever.
They get mixed up.
Yeah, they get mixed up because, like, identity, like, Harry Potter's.
Yeah,
things,
their identity is in.
They don't know how to differentiate their job title versus their identity.
Because Harry Potter kids, I'm pointing at all the Funko Pops, for 10 years, they were playing a part.
Right.
From what, like, 11 to 20.
Sure. Yeah.
And but so, like, there's no way that what's his name? I don't know what Ronald Weasley's name is. His real whatever.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
That is the problem right there. You don't know his actual name.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I feel like
Rupert Grint.
Rupert. Yeah. He would probably took so much. I don't know if this is true or not. But he probably had to take so much of that character onto himself as he developed in his, like, during puberty. Yeah.
Are they all like messed up?
No, they're actually doing pretty well.
Okay.
Well, they're doing really well as far as financially.
Yeah, I don't know.
They have to act ever again. But
yeah, I don't know how they're doing.
I'll give you another one here.
Personally, don't know them personally and how they're doing.
Not yet. I'm
calling him up
them.
Afterwards and see what he's listening. Yeah. What am I talking about? He'll call us up.
That's true.
I will say this, like, for acting, sometimes, like, when Heath Ledger took on the role for the Batman trilogy, he actually talked to Jack Nicholson, who did the Joker for Tim Burton. And Jack Nicholson told him, he said, you need to make sure you're well-grounded in who you actually are. Because when you start to go down the road of playing the Joker, there's a serious temptation to, like, become this character.
No way.
Yeah. Actually, the girls tell me we're getting off on a crazy tangent here, but
let's go for it. I don't care. Let's do this.
Okay. So the young actor who played played Elvis in the new Elvis movie, that was
Austin Butler. Yeah. With his accent. Yeah.
Yes.
Have you seen Dune 2 yet? We don't.
No.
I get into Shia LaBeouf.
Wow. You called me a nerd while ago?
I'm not saying you're the only nerd in the room.
Okay, here we go.
Chris is definitely a nerd.
I believe in Arrakis.
But yeah, so, like, he got so into this character that all of a sudden he can't get out.
His voice, so I'm talking to Tyler now.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
You can see clips of him before he played Elvis. And his voice changed after he played Elvis. Like, months after he played Elvis, he still had an Elvis voice.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah. He had to get a new voice actor to unlearn the Elvis. The coach.
Really?
To unlearn
Elvis. Well, he hosted SNL. And he sounded like his
Elvis?
Character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
You should.
It's a real thing.
And his, interesting.
And his character. Whatever. I'm not going to get into
it. Let's do it.
His character in Dune, you can also.
Oh, don't talk about Dune.
Okay. But no. His character in Dune, his voice is Stellan Skarsgård's voice, the Baron's voice. He's a really good voice actor. Doesn't matter. Let's not talk about it.
We can't
What we're trying to say is this, is that sometimes, and this is kind of a deeper deal, like, you know, it's like you are what you eat kind of a deal. If you play the same character for a long enough period of time, you start to kind of slip into your identity gets lost. And you really think you are that character. I think that's kind of what Jesus is really kind of, like, actually talking about more than anything, is that they have become somebody else. And not only they have become somebody else, but they've turned the roles that they play into something else as well.
Yeah.
And they're not what God had intended. Jesus, I just wrote this down. The Jesus type of hypocrite is one who acts the part of a believer/follower of God, but they don't have the fruit to back it up. And the fruit that we see in Galatians 5:22 and 23, that is the byproduct of being close to God, right? Those things, those fruits of the Spirit, those things are the byproducts. Those are the results that should come out of someone's life if they truly are in close proximity to God. And obviously, those religious leaders of the day were not. I think the trouble is, it is, if what we're saying is true about what they say, is if all Christians then get thrown under the bus of hypocrisy, you know, similarly to the New Testament religious leaders of Jesus's day, as like they were, is that fair? Because I mean, the three of us sit here and we know that that's not fair, because, you know, I don't want to be called a hypocrite just because I make a mistake.
Right.
You know, is it fair? Two things to consider. This is just what I kind of jotted down. Okay. Two things to consider. And I think it will help anybody who's kind of saying this and actually thinking this. I have a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, his daughter completely thinks this. Totally thinks that it's a sham. It's all, not that Jesus wasn't a real guy, but that all of that is a huge, huge sham. First thing, consider what, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes here, Christians are being talked about. Mm-hmm. Who are they, quote unquote? And are they, can they be pointed back to as someone who has these fruit? Mm-hmm. That would be number one.
Yeah.
Think about that. And the other thing to think about, and we've talked about this before too, in this whole, the whole little mini series we've done in the series of like, what is a Christian, is, you know, people who are religious, they self-label like all the time Christian. And we know, because we've talked about it, that they don't really completely understand what that term means either.
Yep.
So they label themselves that, and we just kind of talked about it before we went on to record here, that there's a whole, you know, whole category of people who just don't, they don't know, they don't get it, because they've lived their whole world inside a institution or religious world, and that makes them Christian. What are your thoughts on that?
Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead. I'll defer.
I defer to the senator from...
It's hard for me to record my thoughts, because I'm such an external processor, so it might take a while before I get to the point I'm trying to get, and I don't know if I believe it. So I...
That's okay. We can edit. No problem.
Right, but your first question was, is it fair?
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, there's two point of views, though, right? Is it fair for the Christian to be labeled that way? And is it fair for... Or whatever, like, is it the non-Christian looking at it saying, is it fair for them to say that? Or is it the Christian who's saying, is it fair for it to be labeled that, right?
Yeah.
And I think both parties is like a misunderstanding of what's happening, what Christianity is as presented to them, for both the Christian and the non-Christian.
Sure, right.
Right, because I think for the non-Christian, it is, as an outsider looking in, Christianity is about converting to this lifestyle that is all about practicing righteousness, quote unquote, or morality. You have to, like, honestly, today it is synonymous with, like, you have to have a certain opinion on abortion, LGBTQ community, global warming, Republican. So, like, that is part of the package of Christianity. And then as a Christian, like, I think a lot of people, the people that they can produce fruits of the Spirit, right? But I'm thinking of people who have, like, you're talking about earlier, like, they take on this role that they're supposed to be playing, but that role is usually misunderstanding of what the gospel is, right? It's more about how you have to produce righteousness because that's what God demands of you.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
So then you get, so I'm thinking of, I don't want to use names, but there's this guy who used to be part of our ministry. He's probably not listening. But he's no longer a Christian. And I remember when he entered in ministry, he was this new Christian, and he was super hot for God.
Hot for God.
Whatever. He was very zealous, right? And he was doing all these things and activities, trying to, like, evangelize. He was, like, quote-unquote, on fire. but he's not a Christian anymore. Because I think no one clearly, like, he was part of a Christian institution that applauded Christian activities within the institution.
Right, right.
And, like, you only did Christian activities. It's only counted as Christian. We talked about this before. Like, it's only Christian acts if you did it through the system, right?
Yeah, official.
And, official, right. And he, I think he got super burnt out. Mm-hmm. And I think there were, he would be really hard on himself, or the system would be hard on him if he didn't act a certain way. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was without any grace, right? There was, because what we believe is that, right, we were talking about this off mic before about how sin works. Like, God's not blaming you for your sin. God's not blaming you for your mistakes. But we oftentimes blame ourselves or blame each other for the sin that we're producing. When you're saying you're a new creation, we can get into this. This is, like,
this is coming up in episode 10, right, but right. Yes.
But it's the idea that, like, he did not understand the concept of, like, what was his actual identity after the gospel.
Right, yeah.
Right? And I think he was playing something different than what Jesus was offering. Right? And so he played that role so much. It was so heavy on him that he said, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't want to keep feeling like a bad Christian all the time. So he walked away because he didn't want to feel like a hypocrite. Because he said, I can't do the things that God's demanding me to do. So mm-hmm. I'd rather just not be a hypocrite and then walk away from the whole thing. Right? And so I think I lost my thought. But I think a lot of people, like the Christian, don't understand, like, what the role you're playing is not the role that God's asking you to play. And but they're so into that role that they put in their head, or other people put in their head. Yeah. And it's clearly not fulfilling.
And it's the entire lens of how they see everything work. So yes. You read scripture through the lens of that role.
Yeah.
The incorrect role, yes. For using like the actor analogy. Yeah.
Because in reality, like, what God has actually done to our hearts, like, we don't have to try to play a Christian, right? I think so many times we try to play a Christian when God is just like, no, you have a new nature. I trust you with that nature. Be free in that. I trust that you should be free. You shouldn't be trying to do the Christian choice. So mm-hmm. some people try to do the Christian thing all the time, right? And they feel like that's against what they want to do. Mm-hmm. But God is saying, like, I've given you a new nature. My spirit dwells in you. My spirit can't dwell in places that have sin. I've cleared out all the sin against you, so my spirit can dwell in you. You're now, right, the ecclesia, right? You are now, like, the new temple. And now I trust that what you want to do is of God, right? And I think people are saying, like, well, I can't trust myself. I have to do the Christian thing. And usually the Christian thing is not what God is asking you to do, mm-hmm. even though that might sound weird, right?
Yeah.
And so I think people get confused and saying, like, well, what I want to do, what I thought I was supposed to do. Like, there's another student who is, like, asking, who came to us, and they were asking, like, hey, I don't know how, like, evolution works in my class. I don't know how, like, they had so many doubts, right? And I think Tyler and I were helping this person say, I don't think that's the devil putting doubts in your head. I think that's God saying, I think you are elevating the wrong things about your faith, mm-hmm. right? I think you're putting too much pressure on yourself to try to figure out the mysteries of God when God's not asking you to do that.
Yeah.
So, but then they think they're a bad Christian if they have doubts.
Because they feel like a hypocrite.
Yeah, they feel like a hypocrite because they're playing this role that God's not asking them mm-hmm. to play.
Right.
I don't know if that made any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense because I think, and we're going to kind of touch on this in the next episode, but I think it makes perfect sense because it's almost as if, like, you become a Christian and now you need to go out and do a lot of things.
Yes.
And that's not why this relationship is about.
Yes.
It's as we've said together for the last several years, the whole horse and cart mentality, right? Not horse and horse mentality. I don't become a horse and he's a horse and we're going to gallop together and we're going to go storm the gates of hell and all that kind of jazz. And when people, there is, yes, a whole long list of things that Christians do that we have debunked, episodes before this. And the one thing that Christians actually are supposed to do organically as we were saying about the fruit of the spirit stuff, is love. Love should be like the ultimate byproduct.
Right.
And it's not a, it's not necessarily a verb or an action. Let's put it that way. It's not necessarily an action to, I got to go out and love. I got to go do love. It's a, you have to be love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As if you can stop.
Right.
Being the thing.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to guess what? Yeah, I can't go today because I have to go love somebody between 2:15 and 2:45. But I want to get back. I'll be done with that. And it's not, it's all about becoming something. And
it's the entire, like all the fruits of the spirit. Yes. It's
the byproduct of being something different.
I got to go be patient now.
Right.
Like do patience.
Right.
And self-control.
And that is honestly like the recipe for disaster. It is the recipe for like what seemingly hypocrisy. Right.
Yes. Because once we focus on the action of love, like we can take our love hat on and off.
Yeah. Right.
That's when we start doing things that God's not asking us to do.
Right.
Yes.
And then when we feel like that's not fulfilling, we're going to try even harder. And then that's when we really like, we screw up enough and non-Christian sees us and like, that's not love.
Yeah.
That's not who Jesus is.
Right, right.
You're
right.
A hypocrite. So in my head, it's less about non-Christians calling Christians hypocrites. It's more about Christians realizing that they're not hypocrites if you're living by the Spirit.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely both because we have two different, we have two different parties involved and they come together, so it has to be both. But yes, I think hypocrisy comes about primarily because of false ideas, right? I have a false idea of what I'm supposed to do, what I'm supposed to be, or whatever. Like, how many times has love been like? Things being done in the name of love, where people, like you just said, people go, it doesn't feel like love.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't feel loving. Well, we're rebuking you in love.
Yeah.
No, you're not. You're just rebuking me because you get off on it and you think it's wonderful that I get to go now and like point the finger at somebody because I'm good now and you're not. This is something we've said too for a long time is like the whole, like, how did it become? How do all of a sudden things turn into an us versus them kind of mentality? Because I really feel like this is kind of probably where some of the waters got muddied.
Sure.
And where this whole like blame game can kind of go back and forth about hypocrisy, where we're like onward Christian soldiers marching as to war kind of a deal.
But they take verses like the world will hate you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So like I out of love for,
yeah, you're doing something right because the world hates you.
Yes, that's how I know I'm loving well.
Right. And they forget about the second part of that, which says they will hate you because of me.
Yes.
And it was probably just a quick message to just those people right there for that time and not only for us, but hey, that's beside the point. But
I think that is the point.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think we know that if we can say Christianity in air quotes again, as far as like the 21st century religious view, Christianity, has definitely been one that doesn't seem loving, doesn't seem accepting, is judgmental, is angry, is highly political,
very loud,
very loud, and quite honestly, like the opposite of the fruit of the spirit kind of thing. And really,
yes.
Yeah.
And so it's like, Chris, what you said from the very beginning, is it surprising anymore? And I would say no. I wanted to say this too. This is from John 13. And this is kind of a big deal that Jesus says. He says in John 13, 34 and 35, he says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must now love one another. By this, here's the big deal. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So what Jesus is actually doing here is he's actually putting in a new commandment. It's not a commandment to love or a commandment to, you know, as in the Ten Commandments, love God.
Right.
You know, love others as yourself. Jesus is now saying, no, 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 no. Here's a new commandment. I want you to love other people as I have loved you. And you think to yourself, okay, well, how has he loved us? Well, it's very simple. If you just go backwards and look at the about five verses before that, this whole story is about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And the end of it, he's basically saying, here's the moral of the story. Here's why I've done all this. And Peter goes, oh, you're not washing my feet. No way. No, I'm going to wash your feet. No, and here's why. Because I'm now giving you a new commandment. Not just loving God and not just loving others as yourself, because you may not love yourself very much, so therefore you may not love other people very well. I want you to love others as I have loved you, like just now, what I just did. And I to me, that is like where the waters have gotten muddied. Somehow we've gone from being a completely unconditional, self-sacrificing people after the Messiah to a spoiled, hateful, and entitled group of religious people. And there's should be, you should be shocked if people don't call them hypocrites.
If a non-Christian has like a positive perspective on Christianity.
I mean, because if we're here teaching and then we see something the opposite and we don't say something about it, then we've got a real, real problem. But nature is just kind of doing its thing.
How in the world, everything you said was so true, but how in the world is Christianity the largest religion on the planet?
Well,
how
I mean,
how did that happen?
So I did a podcast and a video, I believe, back about a year or two ago. Anyway, and it was all about God being for us, right? Do you remember that? Did you guys see that? God being for us, and so like after Constantine did what he did and organized everything, and now everything is like, you know. It's not really a God kingdom movement. Now it's a Roman kingdom movement.
Jeez Louise, Scott. You did it there.
Yeah. So now all of a sudden we're a new people. We're a different people. We have a different king. And so we don't have King Jesus anymore. We now have a new religion where our king is humanity.
Right.
And so there's a reason why we've become entitled, because
Can you say that again?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Are you saying the God for us is not
that God is not that God is pro humans?
Yes.
Because that's what we could, you know, because God is pro humans. He is for us.
Yes.
But that God works for us, right? Like okay. Aladdin in the lamp, right? Yeah, I can rub that? The okay. lamp. And God comes up and grants my wishes. I mean, even Constantine himself, before he went into war to defeat the
He's for us in this battle. Right.
Yeah, he said he had a vision where Jesus told him, "Hey, if you'll paint crosses on your armor and your shield and stuff, huh? this
God
is yours."
Be for us.
I just okay. This might be too like real, but there is a like sermon campaign that most churches use called God for us. God is for us. I see it all the time. It's always my like ick meter or like this like wait. I understand what you're saying. Yucky. Like God is for humanity, right? He died for us.
But that
phrase, right? It's always like been there's something off. And I think it is like this idea, like, you know, God wants what right is like if you do this, well, he'll do it for you. If you do this for him almost, right? Like, is it like,
yeah, yeah. It's almost it's almost like, so God wants the best for us. The problem is that it's typically not what we think is the best.
Right.
So it's a change in, it's a paradigm shift in and how you see things. We're supposed to now see things how God sees things. So therefore, then we can understand the Beatitudes. Who's living the best life?
Right.
These people are, in God's eyes. But so the shift isn't on like what we're gonna shift our eyes to how God sees things. We're gonna shift our eyes to how God. We're gonna shift God's eyes to see how we see things.
Yeah, and He's for us.
And He's for us. And so, like the Crusades, all throughout this whole thing is literally, we hold up the banner, and it's literally like, Moses holding his hands up and his staff up, and hey, we're winning, and I'm getting tired.
Yeah, that phrase.
If he's for us, who could be against us?
No, hold him back up every time. Yeah. So if we do a certain types of things, then God is going to be, he's going to be the secret weapon.
Yes. I don't know if I should say this, but I feel like that phrase is always used to just grow church.
Probably.
Right. Like,
you're doing the right things, then God.
Right. Hey, congregation, God is for us. Let's do this. Right?
Yeah.
God wants this church to grow, and we're God doing
on,
the right
God
thing.
God is on our side. And the reality is like I quoted like Abraham Lincoln.
It puts the church in the middle of it.
Right.
Yes. It replaces Jesus.
Yes.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally.
That's what you're talking about.
Yes, totally. Abraham Lincoln was asked during the Civil War, they said, don't you think it's important? You think God is on our side, the side of the North?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And he said, I think a better question is to figure out if we're on God's side. Mm-hmm. And that is really the key. Yeah. It's really the key. It's like, are we going to see things through our own eyes, or are we going to see things through God's eyes? Because when we see things through our own eyes, we're asking God to join us.
Yes.
But God is asking the opposite.
Yeah.
He's wanting us to come and join him and see things through his eyes. And as we talked about, like the whole idea of holy, that's a serious, seriously key piece of the puzzle. Understanding that holy doesn't mean like perfect or blameless or spotless. It means unique. Mm-hmm. God absolutely is unique from all the other gods. All the other gods want people to sacrifice,
right?
Sacrifice human beings, do weird and crazy stuff. And God is unique because he wants your heart. He wants your desires to be full of his desires. And so when that doesn't happen, there's a serious disconnect.
And
there's no doubt.
So going back to the hypocrisy and trying to like act a certain way when we think God is like for us. Somehow this is wrapped into this thing now.
Yeah, here we are.
Right? Like we believe our role is to do these things in order for God to work through us. Right? Like holding up our arms or doing like God wants us to do certain acts in order for him to work through us.
Yeah.
But he'll only work through us if we do these like Christian acts.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where the hypocrisy works. And like, I'm supposed to do these things. But then like, it really leaves
no matter how mad it makes you.
Yes.
This is what God wants.
It's like, it's not like you enjoy it. It's like, I have to do it.
Correct.
It's what God is asking
me to do. It's an obligation.
Right. So like it's almost want to empathize with the hypocrites, even though I'm not excusing the atrocities that like Christians have done in the name of God, right?
But no
it's
doubt.
Like they're so misguided to think they're supposed to do these things, even though they probably knew, like they would never say it out loud, like, I don't think this is what I want to do, but I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yes. In their mind, they've made it right.
And when everything else in your life is that, I know I don't want to do it, but I have to do it, then it's an easy thing to switch on in your head. Like, okay, well, I'm just going to do it then. Because I still have to do stuff in my life that I don't want to do. Surely God is like that. Surely Christianity is like that.
Yeah, it's about easy. Calling, right? It's like, I'm called to go and do this. And, you know, that's a real dangerous spot to be in. Because it's almost like people who are predicting the end of the world. You know, it's like when it doesn't happen. I meant next month, or next year. And it's the same kind of deal. Because ultimately for those who are in that mentality, hopefully they can listen more podcasts like this and understand that God is really asking for something very, you know, a pretty simple concept, which is, you know, he's looking for your whole life to be his, not the other way around. In closing, I want to say this to anybody who is actually thinking that the whole world is full of all Christians are hypocrites. Please listen to the next episode, because we're going to talk about sin. And if you're a Christian, you're not supposed to sin. You shouldn't sin. We're going to kind of debunk that. But just know this. If you've listened to any of the other stuff we've talked about, we've gone very, very clearly through what a Christian is. And the whole idea of the word Christian alludes to someone who is about being, who is all about the Christ, the Messiah. And that really is what God is looking for. And honestly, you can't really call yourself a Christian unless that is really true of you, unless you are really all about the Christ, the Messiah, and not just your version of it, because that's easy to do. We just talked about it, but really what Jesus talked about. So just do us a favor. Don't mistake Christian for churchgoer.